The Gospel of John this morning. Jesus turns our sorrow into joy. Jesus turns our sorrow into joy. I want you to turn with me to chapter number 16. Chapter number 16. We're coming near the end. For the last several months, we've been studying through the Gospel of John in our Sunday services. To John chapter 16, and we're going to look this morning at verses 16 to 18 to begin with. Can you stand together with me if you found it? John chapter 16, and we'll read verses 16 to 18. The title of the message is Jesus Turns Our Sorrow into Joy. Jesus turns our sorrow into joy. Verse number 16 says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father? They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. In other words, we don't understand, you know, what he's saying. Let's pray together and we'll talk about it. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the things we've been able to study and see here in the Gospel of John. It's through believing we can have light and we can have life, and we know grace and truth that comes from you. I thank you, Lord, for what we've seen in the Gospel of John and how you sought to prepare your disciples for when you would no longer be with them. We talked about your promise of how you'd send the Comforter and how he'd be there as a comforter and a reprover and a teacher. And he's there to help us, and he dwells in each one of us and lives in each one of us that have believed, and we're thankful for that. You promise us peace. You promise us joy. If we be your friends, if we abide in Christ, if we be obedient unto you. And Lord, we want to be that. I think that each one here would want to be your friend, want to keep your commandments. Lord, help us. Maybe there'll come times in our life where we will be weary of things that come in our life or trials that come. And Lord, help us in those times to find our strength and comfort from you, to keep abiding in Christ, to keep walking with you, spending time with you. Lord, help us today with this truth that we're going to look at, thinking of how you can turn sorrows into joy. I'm glad that I'm with you. I'm glad that you're living in me. And I thank you for what you've done, and I know you will do in the days to come in my life. Help us, Lord, to love you like we ought to love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. In these verses, Jesus was helping to prepare the disciples for what was to come. He was telling them that they would not see him because he would be gone. The Bible uses an expression there, a little while. I think that was probably referring to his coming death and burial, and how for just a little while he would be gone. He would die and he would be buried, and then of course Jesus was going to be resurrected from the grave. And the Bible says they would get to see him again briefly for just a few days, for just a little while, before he would then leave them and he would ascend to the Father. He would go to the Father, and now it's been 2,000 years that he's still been gone to the Father, and he hasn't returned yet, but we know that he is. Again, a little while, Jesus would not be seen until he comes back the second time. It's been 2,000 years, but that is still just a little while to the God of eternity. Now, the Bible tells us that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So for the God of eternity, it's still just a little while. It's just a little while. And he is coming again, just like he promised them he would. We see Jesus in this chapter trying to prepare his disciples for the times when he would be gone away and no longer with them. First, he'd be gone 3 days, be crucified, be buried, and then he'd resurrect. He'd come back and be with them a little while, and then he'd be gone a little while longer before his second coming. Turn back to John chapter 16, verse 4 to 7. John 16, 4 to 7. In all these things that he was saying to them and teaching them, he was trying to prepare them for when he would be gone. It says in John 16, 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. In other words, he's telling them even there that soon I'm going to be going back to my Father in heaven, the one that sent me into this world. It says there in verse 5, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, notice this, sorrow hath filled your heart. Because of these things that Jesus told them, I'm going to be gone, I'm going to be leaving you. Sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you, it is actually good for you, or profitable for you, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When Jesus is not with us, we're still not alone. Thank God we're still not alone, because we read in that verse even, we have him with us. Through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter of God, we still have him. So even though he is gone, we're not alone. He is with us through his Spirit. Go down to verse 17 again. John 16, verse 17 to 20. It says, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Verse 18, they said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful. Notice this phrase, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. They didn't understand exactly what Jesus meant. Jesus would be gone a little while, 3 days in the grave, 3 days buried, 3 days they would begin to be filled with despair and hopelessness and sorrow. They would begin to grieve. They would begin to lament. What has happened to our Master? What has happened to our Lord? The world would rejoice, thinking, we've gotten rid of him. And they would be sorrowing. But God was going to turn their sorrow into joy, wasn't he? God was going to turn their sorrow into joy. They would perhaps feel like their whole world was falling apart. Their leader was going to be crucified and buried. Sorrow would fill their hearts. But that was not going to be the end of the story for Jesus and the disciples. That was not going to be the end of Christ. That was not going to be the end of his work on the earth. Jesus would show himself alive to his disciples after the resurrection. He would give them some final instructions. He would give them what we call the Great Commission. He would be gone a little while, but then for another little while he'd see them. He would rise from the grave. He would rise from the dead. He would meet them in Galilee. He would spend some time with them. He would promise to send the Holy Spirit to empower them, to comfort them, to help them to continue on Christ's work. Notice again verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Joy. When Jesus would be crucified and buried, the world would be rejoicing. The devil would be laughing. The disciples, they'd be hiding. They'd be sorrowing. They'd be weeping. But God was going to turn those tears into joy. That resurrection Sunday morning, it was going to come. Sin and death and hell were going to be defeated by Christ, who died and rose victorious to defeat sin and death and hell for us. The grave could not contain him. In Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5, it says this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning, like that song I just sang. Listen, he can turn our sorrow into joy. When it seemed hopeless for the disciples, when it seemed like they were just in despair and there was no hope and our leader is gone and what are we going to do? Jesus turned their sorrow into joy. He turned their sorrow into joy. John 16 and verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. What a promise there Jesus made to his disciples. Their sorrow would be turned to joy. You know what? Resurrection power can do that. Resurrection power can do that for God's people. Jesus has all power. He has resurrection power. He has power to raise the dead to life. He has power to raise a dead situation and bring it to life. Their sorrow would be turned to joy. Resurrection power can do that. The indwelling Holy Spirit, the comforter living inside every born again believer, he brings joy. He brings peace. He brings comfort in our times of sorrow and in our times of trials. John 16, notice there verse number 21, if you would. John 16, 21, Jesus gives this comparison. He says, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow. You know, a woman when she's going through labor, when she's travailing in birth, boy, she's in sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And those of you that have had that privilege of being able to give birth to a child, you know that, boy, in labor, there can be some anguish and it can be some sorrow and it can be some pain. But once they take that little baby and they set that little baby right there and you get to hold that baby, you forget all about it. The sorrow is turned into joy. The sorrow is turned into joy. And Jesus gives that comparison. Listen, Jesus' hour was now come. His death on the cross was quickly approaching. And yes, he himself would experience sorrow and travail, but it was totally worth it for the joy that would come afterwards. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews 12 talks about for the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. He knew the joy that would come afterwards. He knew the joy of his soon being able to sit down again at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He knew the joy that was coming as he would no longer be separated from the Father in heaven. He would get to be with him once again. The suffering and the pain, the travail that Christ would experience on the cross, the suffering and grief that he would endure in the Garden of Gethsemane, all that he would go through, all the agony, all the suffering, it was worth it for the joy that would come afterwards. You know, the joy that would come afterwards, of course, was first him getting to be next to the Father again. But I think another part of the joy that Christ looked forward to was every time a lost sinner would get saved. Every time a lost sinner comes to Jesus Christ for salvation, there's a new birth taking place. Listen, Jesus may have travailed in sorrow and anguish and had to go to the cross and had to die and suffer for us. But every time a person gets saved, it's a new birth taking place. Hey, it's a baby being born into the family of God. And I think what joy it brings to the heart, what a smile it brings to the face of the Savior. The Bible talks in Luke how there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Can you imagine what joy it brings to him? Sorrow turned to joy. All the anguish and pain and suffering that he endured on the cross, how worth it is. Every time a person comes to Christ and gets saved, a new birth, a baby being born, just like a mother enjoying holding her newborn baby in her arms, the pain is worth it for the joy of that precious new child. And there's great joy for Christ every time a sinner is saved, a child, every time a person is born again into the family of God. Sorrow and travail turns to joy. It turns to joy. Look at John chapter 16 there in verse number 22. It says, and ye now therefore, speaking to his disciples, he says, and ye now therefore have sorrow. You're sorrowing. You're worried. You're worried what's going to happen. You're worrying about some of the things I've told you, that I'm going to be killed and I'm going to be gone and I'm going to leave you for a little while and you don't understand all that's going to happen. He says, verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart shall rejoice and your joy no man taketh from you. Your joy no man taketh from you. Jesus knew the disciples would personally experience sorrow. He knew the sorrow that they would go through as he was crucified, as he was buried. But Christ was promising to them, listen, I'm going to see you again. I'm going to see you again. Your joy will be turned, or sorry, your sorrow will be turned to joy. Your sorrow will be turned to joy. Listen, your heart will rejoice. You're going to see me again. I'm going to be with you again. No man can take your joy away from you. You know, Christ still has power to do that today. Christ still has power to turn our sorrows into joy today. And no man, not even the devil himself, can take away our joy if we will abide in Christ. No man. The devil not even. They can't take away our joy if we'll abide in Christ. Oh, will we go through times of sorrow on earth? Yes. Will we have suffering and pain? Can we get sick? Can we have trials? Can we lose a loved one? Can we have disappointments in life? Yes, we can. But he will turn our sorrow into joy. He will turn our sorrows into joy. He still has power to do that today. Remember John 15, a great chapter about abiding in Christ and letting his word abide in us. And Jesus gives us a promise in chapter 15 that says, these things have I written unto you that your joy might be full. These things have I written unto you that your joy might be full. Your joy might be full. Listen, Jesus doesn't want us to have to live in sorrow. He wants to turn our sorrows into joy. He wants our hearts to be able to rejoice in him. When you abide in Christ, that is possible. The Christian who abides in Christ will always get their joy back, even if they have some nights of sorrow, even if they have some nights of tears. Listen, weeping may endure for a night, the Bible says, but joy cometh in the morning. In the morning. He can turn our sorrows into joy. Regardless of where you are, regardless of where you're at in life this morning, regardless of who you are, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you are God's child. You're God's child. If you have sorrows and you have trials and you have heartaches, be assured in knowing that joy cometh in the morning. It's God's promise. Joy cometh in the morning. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, He will bring you peace and joy. The Word of God will give you joy. Listen, if you have the indwelling Comforter, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, He can bring peace to your heart. If you will spend time in the Word of God, it can help to bring you a peace of heart. It can help to bring you joy in your life. I want you to turn with me back to Psalm chapter 119. Turn with me back in the Old Testament, right about the very middle of your Bible. You're going to find the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. P-S-A-L-M-S. The book of Psalms. Look at Psalm chapter 119. I love these verses that we read from the psalmist. Listen, the Psalms is a wonderful place to you to read when you're going through tough times in life. Or when you're going through trials, or when you have sorrows, when you have heartaches, when you have difficulties that you're facing. Listen, I encourage you, spend time in the Bible. Spend time in the Word of God until it refreshes your soul. Spend time in the Word of God until it turns your sorrow into joy. If you're going through sorrows, hey, read the Psalms, spend time in them, and let God's Word encourage your heart. Look at what Psalm chapter 119 and verse 47 says. Psalm 119 verse 47, it says, And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. I'm going to delight myself in spending time in the Word of God, in other words. Verse 49, it says, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word. Thy word hath quickened me. The word quickened means it's brought life. It's made alive. It's brought me life. When I felt like death, when I felt like sorrow, when I felt like grief, when I was going through afflictions in my life, you've given me hope. You've brought me comfort. You've quickened me. You've quickened me. Go down to verse number 81. Psalm 119 verse 81. It said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope, what does it say? But I hope in thy word. It's God's word that gives hope. It's God's word that gives comfort. It's God's word that can turn our sorrows into joy. It's God's word that can strengthen us and help us. Look down at verse 92. Psalm 119, verse 92 and 93, he said, the psalmist makes this declaration. He gives this testimony. He says, unless thy law, in other words, thy word, every time we see some the law and commandments and statutes and so on, Psalm 119, it was all referring to God's word. And he says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I would have given up. I would have given up all hope. I would have quit. I faced so many afflictions and trials and difficulties. I would have given up. I would have perished. But your word was my delight. Notice verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Listen, the psalmist had joy by abiding in God's word. He had joy because he spent time in the scriptures. He spent time in the word of God, and he allowed God's word to abide in his heart. Listen, spend time in the scriptures through good times, through tough times. Spend time in God's word and let it encourage you. Let it bring you hope. Let it bring you peace. Let it comfort you. Let it turn your sorrows into joy. You abide in Christ and he will give you great joy. I haven't shared this in quite a while, necessarily in a service, but as an illustration, when our little boy Eric, our big boy now, when our big boy Eric, he's helping in the class, I think he's 13 now, but when he was born, just a short time after he was born, he ended up spending, I think it was 11 days and 11 nights, if I remember right, in the hospital. And he was just a little boy, and you know, we were concerned for him, and you know, he wasn't gaining weight, he wasn't being able to keep his food, and so on. He was just a little tiny baby, and you know, you want to see your baby grow, and you want to see your baby taking the milk, and so on, and he just kept constantly being sick and spitting up, and we were worried about him. It's a trial for us as parents of the little baby. But you know what, I spent a lot of time in the Psalms. I spent a lot of time reading the Psalms during that time. And God used it to comfort me. God used it to strengthen me. God used it to help me. God used it to help turn my sorrow into joy. When I even ended up preaching a message after that time about it, when the clouds seemingly were hovering, God helped us. God helped us. His strength was in the clouds. Listen, God helped us. God can use his word in your life to turn your sorrows into joy. God can use his word to give you peace and hope in the midst of trials. That's what God wanted for his disciples. Remember my words. Remember what I said. Hey, you get in God's word. You spend time in God's word and it will give you what you need to strengthen you to turn your sorrows into joy. Abide in Christ and it'll give you great joy. Jesus knew what his disciples would experience. He knew the hatred from the world that they would face. He knew the sorrow of heart that they would have because Jesus was seemingly gone. He knew the persecution that would end up coming in the future. But he told them, you can still have joy. You can still have joy. Listen, joy is an inner disposition. Something that God gives us on the inside, not something that is controlled by the circumstances in our life. You know where happiness comes from? Happiness comes from the happenings in our life. The happenstances of life. If you give me $100, that would make me happy. You take me out for dinner, that would make me happy. You know, you say a kind word to me, that would make me happy. And wouldn't that make you too happy, right? Samuel, would it make you happy? Some of you happy, you know, if my wife took you shopping and bought you, like, let you pick up 5 new dresses. Hey, that would make some of you happy, right? If my wife let you get a pair of shoes, Beth, and took you shopping and you could pick any pair of shoes you want, that would make you happy. Things make us happy. Circumstances make us happy. You know, good things in our life, that makes us happy. But it's having the Lord that gives us true joy. It's having the Comforter and the Holy Spirit of God living in us and believers that can give us joy even when everything's not going so well in life. When the bills are more than we can afford. When we're lacking in our life. when we don't have everything we'd like to have, when there are trials, when there are troubles, when there are heartaches, when there are difficulties, it's God that can give us joy through that and in the midst of that. Joy is an inner disposition. It's an inner thing. Christians can have joy every day through the indwelling Holy Spirit if we'll abide in Christ and His Word. Spend time abiding in Christ. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in His Word and let His Word be your comfort. Let His Word give you hope. Let His Word strengthen you. Let His Word cause your heart to rejoice. Let His Word turn your sorrow into joy. God didn't intend that we go through the tough times of life without Him. No, abide in Christ and let His Word abide in you. Then you can know the joy and peace that the Lord gives. He wants us to experience His presence. He wants us to experience His power. He wants us to experience and know His peace in our hearts. His peace in our hearts. Go back to John chapter 16 and we're going to come to conclusion here. Look at verses 23 to 27. John chapter 16, verses 23 to 27. It says there, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing." John 16, 23. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto," in other words, up to this point, "have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you." The Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Jesus here tries to remind the disciples that the Father in heaven loves them. As he's dealing with them and talking to them about their sorrows and how their sorrow can be turned to joy and how, you know, the joy that God gives, the joy that Christ gives, no man will be able to take away from you. He reminds them here in these verses that the Father in heaven loves them. God loves them. And he reminds them that God wants to hear their prayers and that God wants to answer their prayers. Hey, that ought to be a good thing, a good assurance to us, a thing that causes us to rejoice. That despite my trials, despite my difficulties, there's a God who wants to hear my prayers. There's a God who wants to listen. When I do have sorrows in my heart, when I do have trials that I'm going through, God is listening. God is hearing. God wants us to pray. And he loves us. He loves us. In conclusion, we must do these things. We must remember that God loves us. Remember, God loves us. Boy, don't forget God loves you. When we start forgetting about the love of God, we're in trouble. Listen, we can have joy in the midst of sorrow. Joy because God loves us. Joy because if we're saved, His Spirit lives in us. Remember that God loves us. Hey, remember to pray to the Father. Hey, remember that He hears you. Remember that He's listening. Remember that He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to pray. Remember that the Father loves you. Remember that God wants to hear you pray. Remember to pray in Jesus' name. There's power in praying in His name. Because He goes to the Father on our behalf. Remember that God loves us. Remember that the Father hears your prayers. And He wants you to pray. Pray in Jesus' name. Hey, realize that God delights in answering the prayers of those who love Christ. God delights in answering the prayers of those who will abide in close fellowship with Him. God delights in answering the prayers of those that will abide in Christ and let God's Word abide in us. We learned that in John 15. Listen, abide in Christ. Spend time with Him. Not only will spending time in His Word help cause your heart to rejoice and give you hope and strength, but that abiding in Christ and letting His Word abide in you also really gets God's attention. Make Him want to answer your prayers. Live in close fellowship with Him. God delights in answering the prayers of those who walk with Him and spend time with Him and want to obey Him. Remember this. Remember that no matter what sorrows and troubles and trials we face, that through spending time abiding in Christ and letting His words abide in us, He can turn our sorrows into joy. He can turn our sorrows into joy. Do you need to spend more time in the Word of God? Do you need to spend more time on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday in the Word of God? Don't just let it be that, you know, you pick up your Bible just to come to a church on Sunday morning. Hey, pick it up on Monday. Pick it up on Tuesday. Pick it up on Wednesday. Pick it up on Thursday. Why? Because listen, there are times regularly in life where we face things that are difficult. We face obstacles. We face trials. We can get sorrow in our heart. We have heartaches that come in life. And we need to abide in Christ. We need to let God's Word abide in us. Abiding in Christ and letting God's Word abide in us will bring us peace and joy. Peace and joy. In John 16, verse 33, at the end of the chapter, he says this. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Isn't that a good reminder? Hey, I've overcome the world. You're going to face tribulations. You're going to face trials. You're going to face difficulties in the world. But hey, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. In me, you can have peace. In me. Listen, from God's Word, you can get hope. From God's Word, you can get strength. From God's Word, you can get joy. He will cause our heart to rejoice. He can turn our sorrows into joy. But we need to spend time with Him. We need to spend time in His Word. And that's where our strength comes from as Christians. That's where our joy is going to come from as Christians. Spend time abiding in Him and let His words abide in us. Jesus wanted to tell the disciples that, oh, you may be sorrowing right now, but your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. You may think things don't look so good right now, but hey, joy cometh in the morning. Hey, you spend time with me, you abide in me, you let my words abide in you. Hey, I will give you a joy, the Bible says in that verse, that no man can take from you. Nobody can ever take it away from you if your joy is found in Christ. And because you spend time with Christ and you let God's word abide in you, nobody can ever take that away from you. You lose your job, well, my joy wasn't in my job, it was in Christ. If you lose your home, well, my joy wasn't in this, my joy was in Christ. If you lose a friend, if you lose a loved one, no matter what it is, no matter what trial may come, no matter what difficulty may come, let it be that your joy comes from Christ, abiding in Christ and letting His Word abide in you. And He can turn your sorrows into joy. Turn your sorrows into joy. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the words of Christ that He shared with the disciples. They did not have to sorrow and live defeated or discouraged, because Christ wanted their sorrows to be turned to joy. He wanted their hearts to rejoice. And Lord, we know it's true that our hearts can rejoice too. We can have joy in our life. We can have a joy and peace from the Lord that the world can never take away from us. I could lose some things, but I don't have to lose my joy. I don't have to lose the peace, because Lord, those things come from you. And I'm thankful, Lord, for what you've given me. I'm thankful, Lord, for what I have in Christ. I'm thankful, God, that you sent your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to live inside of me, to dwell in me. I know I'm never alone. I'm never forsaken. You're with me at all times. Father, I pray that we would learn something here this morning from the words of Jesus. Help us to remember to pray. You want to hear us. Remember that you love us. Help us to realize that through abiding in Christ and letting your words abide in our hearts and lives, and we can have joy and peace. Even sorrows can be turned to joy. Father, we have the testimony of the psalmist. We could take the testimony of many Christians. And we have just the truth plainly declared by Jesus. Father, help us to believe it. Help us to practice it. Help us to be able to live with the joy of the Lord. The joy and peace that you can give. Father, for each person here, I pray you turn their sorrows into joy. Help them to pray. Help them to draw closer to you. Help them to spend time in your word. Spend time in prayer. Father, let our hearts rejoice. Give us the joy that you want us to have, a joy that the world can't take away, a joy that doesn't lessen or diminish with trials and difficulties. Father, I want that kind of joy in my life. Help each person here to desire to have your joy and your peace. Help them to spend time with you. Spend time abiding in your word and letting your word abide in them. I'm going to ask the pianist to play, and with our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand together to our feet. As we stand together, can I encourage you to pray? I encourage you to find a place to kneel and pray this morning and ask the Lord to help you. Do you know in your own life there's trials and sorrows and difficulties? Do you need the Lord? He's the one that can give you peace and joy. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Find a place to kneel at this altar. Will you find a place to spend some time in prayer? If maybe you know that in your life, maybe you've been missing something. Maybe missing some time with the Lord. It's just not been there like it ought to be there. Why don't you recommit yourself to spending time with the Lord, spending time in prayer, spending time in His Word. Sometimes we miss, we're missing the strength that He can give us. We're missing the peace. We're missing the quickening of the Lord. We're missing the joy of the Lord because we're not spending time with Him. Not spending time in His Word. Ask God to give you that joy that only He can give. Thank God that He hears you. Thank God that He loves you. Ask God to help you to pray and bring your sorrows to Him, bring your troubles to Him. Bring your burdens to Him. Leave them there. Bring your burdens to the cross and leave them there. If you don't know that you're saved, you've got a burden of sin, a weight of sin you carry around all the time. You need to take that burden and weight of sin and bring it to the cross and leave it there. Let Christ save you and forgive you of your sins. Let Him give you new life that He wants to give you. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for this morning. We can gather and we can look at your word and we can be encouraged by the truth that Jesus shared with His disciples. And Lord, we know it's for us as well. We know that the promise of joy and rejoicing and turning sorrow into joy, it's for all of us. And Father, we can have it. We ought to have it. There may be things in life that cause us not to be happy. That doesn't mean we have to lose our joy. Father, help us to have joy. Spending time with Christ. Spending time in prayer. Letting your word abide in us. Spending time in your word. Letting it cause our heart to rejoice. To be strengthened, to have hope. I do thank you, Lord. I know it's real. I know this is true. Father, help us to experience it and be able to live it out in our own lives this week and in the weeks to come, Lord. Thank you for what you do to give us joy, even in sorrows, to turn our sorrows into joy. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray.